This is Master Griot Radio, Channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio Dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. This is Jacqueline Taylor Adams again, and I am your host for this moment in time. And I welcome you to episode 2 of Christmas in July. This is your 2017 Holiday Marketing Guide, and we're talking about Know Thy Audience. Know your audience, your brand, and we're going to talk about how to leverage technology to discover your audience. Who's your audience? And by knowing your audience and knowing your brand, you have to know your product. And the question is, what hell are you saving your customer from, and or what heaven are you putting them into? So you need to know their pain point, and you need to know if you have a product that serves this pain point or helps here, does this, who has that pain point? Who needs it? Who considers it a problem? Who's looking to overcome it? Who's looking to be in your heaven? You know, these are the questions that you need to ask. And I'm going to bring on Cairo. Matter of fact, she's on. And I do need to apologize to everyone for being late. I had to run downtown and lost reception. The train got stuck. Anything that could go wrong went wrong. And I was underground. I couldn't let, you know, trying to let Cairo know. But she's so intelligent. I mean, you guys are going to love her. She is so intelligent. She even knew who else to get in touch with. I came in. I saw a call for her. He said, Cairo's on the line. This woman is just so smart. But what Cairo's going to share with us is about how we leverage technology in order to, you know, discover this audience. You know, you do have to invest money into research and into finding your target audience, because when you don't take the time to discover your target audience, you waste a lot of time and a lot of energy marketing to people who don't really want your product, and you're not making the money you need to make. And just for a little quick background, this is Christmas in July. Businesses, guess what? Christmas starts in September. If you think it starts in December, you're wrong. It starts in September. People are leveraging the internet and using it to find out what's going on earlier, who got the best deal to plan, and many people start shopping in September. Just think about it. It's only about 12 or less paychecks from September through Christmas. So people that plan, well, I'm going to get a little here, and this is what they do. They plan, they scout. So if you're waiting until November to release your holiday strategy, thinking you're going to get everybody at Black Friday, you're lost. Because by the time they go out on Black Friday, they know what they're getting and who they're getting it from. You need to get your message out in front of the people starting in September, so when they are ready to shop, they will come to you. So that is what this whole series is about. And so without further ado, I am going to introduce to you and welcome the tech socialite, tech evangelist, the one and only Cairo Queen.
Gee, thanks. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it. To all you Master Griot listeners out for having me on. I am thank you. I always like to hear how people introduce me. It's kind of like, what are they going to say? But I'm really excited. You know, it was even funnier. I was on the phone when I looked online. I saw my picture. I was like, I always notice if I ever go speak somewhere, I hand people pictures, and they never use the pictures that I hand them. They will always go comb the internet, and they'll be like, oh, I like this one. I'm like, could I just handed you the one I want you to. And look, I didn't even know that my face was going to be on there. So I bought the phone. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm on here. So that was funny. So I was like, oh, there's a, my, 'tis the season. So I don't want to tie up a lot of time. And I thank you all for having me on here. But that kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, my face is on there. I'm excited to be here. I haven't been on an interview for a while, but I'm really glad that you did this, because I was thinking to myself about, you know, what is coming down the pipes, especially where technology is concerned. And can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you great. We hear
okay,
you great.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay, I was thinking about what's coming down the pipeline for, and I'm outside, by the way. I was thinking about what's coming down the pipeline for the coming season technology, and what a lot of people are probably unaware of that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But even before you get to what you're unaware of, the fact that you have a ton of competition out there for whatever you're selling, I don't care what it is, in the
yeah.
space where we've become digital cyborgs, and this is something that every single person needs to know, whether you're doing an event or if you're selling a product, or if you're creating a service, or you issue, you deliver a service, whatever it is that you do, there is a competition for it out there. I don't know
yes.
how many tech people I talk to, and they're like, oh, this is the only thing out there. As soon as I go Google it, I'll find something exactly like what they do. It's like,
yeah, I'm always leery when people brand themselves. You know, just a quick note, when you're branding, be very mindful if you brand yourself as the number one or the only.
Yep.
You need to be able to back that. And if you can't back that with fact, then, you know, you're not fulfilling your brand promise. So be mindful when you put number one or the only, you know, because I've seen people do it, and I say, I actually do know somebody like that. So
I'll give you an example.
Go ahead, Kyra.
2 days ago, I just Googled Cairo Queen, and another sister came up.
Wow.
I was like, she spelled it without the W. She spelled it with the U. And I said, now here's a funny
mm-hmm.
thing. When I put this online almost 10 years ago now, there was nobody else, not even
mm-hmm.
Queen in Cairo, that had Cairo Queen out there. So I Googled this just thoroughly all over the internet before I even put this out here. I put
yes.
it, and then I stuck it everywhere. So Facebook messed me up, so everybody understands. And this is something that people need to understand. When you start doing stuff with Facebook, they control their universe. If you don't own
mm-hmm.
it, you don't control it. So
yes.
they can come back at any point in time and say, here, let me transition you back to what I want you to be. Now, here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I use Cairo in my waking life, not just in my digital life. So a lot of people, they'll use
mm-hmm.
their online name. If you go and look me up, I'm Cairo everywhere.
Yes.
But now on Facebook, they told me I wasn't Cairo Queen. They couldn't prove that, so they wanted to put my birth name on there. And I was like, who are you to tell me who I am? So I'm on their platform. And I had clients on there who I had other Facebook groups and pages for. And if I would have shut
yes.
that account down, then I would have lost their stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just interesting. And I said, this, it's been a wake-up call for me in the space of looking and saying, there needs to be a space. And this is something I want everybody out there in the universe, whether you hear it in a replay or you hear it in live, listen to me when I say digital ownership is the only way that you actually own something. Not when you're on somebody else's platform. Not when you're riding
yeah.
somebody else's brand. If you get on Twitter, it belongs to Twitter. If you get on Google, it belongs to Google. You get on Facebook, I promise you Mark Zuckerberg owns it. So,
yeah.
And it's been a wake-up call for me specifically because, and I don't know if anybody knows who I am out there anymore at this point, but I had a digital
people
footprint of almost a million images. So, yeah, maybe a little. But I had a digital footprint of almost a million images. I used to keep track of this every single month. So I knew what was out there. Now I have people call me and say, I can't even find you anywhere. And I'm like, that's because I associated for years everything that was online was in my Facebook account. Even though I had things in other places, as those things transitioned with the changing of my name, everything that had a digital footprint for Cairo Queen went back to my birth name. And so now I literally have to argue with people what my name is. And I'm like, and no offense to anybody else out there, but they will accept a man transitioning to a woman in public view before they will let me be my name.
I know.
It's a name transition. Wait a minute. So it's just interesting. But looking at what's coming in the future, you have to look and say, even though I'm Cairo Queen, there is now Cairo Queen spelled the regular way of queen. So now I'm going to confuse people with what I do and what she does. She's just somebody who wanted to use the name. I actually branded this for a reason. So I've been using this for a reason. There used to be a website named Cairo Queens. You can go to all the stuff that I had on Facebook, and you can also find the reason why I put it out there on the website. I don't have that website anymore. I made 4 different evolutions. I'm in a space where I'm thinking Cairo. But I'm doing a digital revolution.
Well, that's good.
Of my own.
That's good, because I'm in an evolution too. And, you know, your brand should evolve, and you should involve your audience in that process. So Cairo 4.0, everyone that knows Cairo Queen, they are nowhere near surprised. And they're like, well, where are we going now? You know, we got the quantum.
Quantum innovation, right?
Like, where are we going now? It's like, where are you going to take us now?
It has everything to do with the future. And the reason I said this, I've looked at the history of everything that is associated with African American people, and I have not seen a future focus for our people. And I said, okay, I don't know any political platform that has ever focused on the future. Where do we sit in 2040? Where do we see black people in 2040? You know what I mean? We always are talking about our history and our struggles and the things we got to overcome.
Well, there is a black futurist. There's the black futurist. If you look it up, Black Futurist. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, well, that's
somebody
you're looking
at. Books and writing. Yeah, yeah. They do, you know, a lot, even fiction works and all, but there's a Black Futurist. Maybe Kwame, he's on an Urban Tech Fair too. But that spills into a lot of, you know, a lot of the tech people. But it's Black Futurist. So that's one of them.
Yeah,
and I think
tech,
there's one more.
Now, in technology, we have a future focus for, but I'm talking about, like, the infrastructure of where we go. We've had Black Wall Street. I need to find, like, where's our projected view of where we as a population of people are trying to go with this? Ultimately, at what date and time does this end up at that date? You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you. I think we don't focus. We catch trends after they've happened, and opportunities, for the most part, when the windows are closing. We don't celebrate.
Right.
I don't think we celebrate our innovators enough, the people that come up with the new things. That's why when Jason came up with the idea of the conference, I said, well, let's do something a little different. Because initially it was like a lot of that's out there. Like, that's already being done. If we all come together as bright as we are, just imagine the Urban Tech Fair people alone, but just imagine we all come together, community stakeholders. Those are the people who care and want to help but don't know how. And we brought our entrepreneurs, people already in business who want to get better and in intensive. But if we all came together with our mind power realizing that once we get together and come together, we automatically are starting to create. If we provided a structure for that creation, what would we create? We shouldn't come together and not produce. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We shouldn't come together and not produce. You know, I mean, just our conversations alone. But you know, when we get together, where we start going. So if we know that's what's going to be the process, the purpose. We come together, we should walk away with something. We should produce something. And you got me into that forethought when you said about those people was looking for stuff. And that's what made me structure it. Say, you know, I listen.
Structure a forward movement, and I know this is off topic, I'm sorry, but a forward movement for the infrastructure. When you say the word infrastructure, and I hate to do this to everybody because I'm sure everybody doesn't like this man, but he said, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump said that he wanted to create a $1 billion, what was it, trillion dollar infrastructure program for the United States of America. Immediately, that created money. Money for things to be built. Money for jobs to be created. Even if the stuff hadn't been put in place. When we say by 2040, we have a new infrastructure layout for the global African-American dynamic city. You know, an example.
Mm-hmm.
Our transformation point from that conversation forward gives us a reason to put money in a place, even if it's not our money. Mm-hmm. We say by 2040, the infrastructure for Atlanta is now going to be 4/5. You know, I'm just throwing this out there. And I say this because I've looked at the transformation of what has been done to Atlanta in the last 3 years being here, where they have literally taken a population of people and completely moved them out of the inner city and pushed them somewhere, God knows where, because they aren't even tracking where these people went to. But the whole entire population of Atlanta is transforming. I was sitting with a politician last week, and she was telling me that 250,000 white people have moved into the Atlanta proper area, where Atlanta's population was 59% African American. And we know that's about redistricting.
Yeah.
It's about redistricting. About changing the
population. Now, see, that's the thing about it, too. We need to, like, listen when our people talk about this. 1996, Dr. Claude Anderson put out with the Harvest Institute that they were going to start redistricting. And he gave us a strategy how to still prosper within what they were trying to, what they were going to do. He first said, stop not claiming yourself as black. We want to be everything. I'm this, I'm that. We're going out to ancestry, and you need to question how right that is, what they're giving you. They've already brought into question some of the stuff about what they're reporting. And I know some of it, a lot of the reports is just not matching what I know, but what I've always known. So we're trying to say we're all of these things but whatever we want to allocate, because that's how dollars are allocated. So we consider
that
minority, and it's black folks. So if you stop becoming black and now you check out all of these other boxes, you water us down and the funds become watered down that are allocated for us. That's why they made us a minority, and instead of it just being blacks a minority, women a minority. All of these other people and all groups are now minorities. Now that minority money has to get all split up. Now they're splitting up how you're black. And so...
Right, so... I would look at that, and there's a reason why, and I know he said that, but I look and I'm like, if you look at the actual terminology used, it's altered because they changed what it means because of that. Just like they're redistricting areas, we have not paid attention to what's happened to paperwork and in the legal space, what is happening to the definition of things. And I've been showing people this, like what, when you go look, there's a form I wish everybody would go look up, and it refers to a government employee, which is everybody. Everybody's a taxpayer. And it gives you a definition of race. Everybody go out online. You can do this right now on Google. SF, like San Francisco, but SF 181 is a form you need to go look up. Just look at the terminology. What it means that you are black. Then go look up the etymological dictionary version of what black means. Because in the legal space, the verbiage that they use is not the space that we use in common conversation and dialect. People have to understand, when you're talking about legal definitions of things and how they apply to the court system and the legal system, not necessarily to the United States of America, but to the infrastructure that is known as our legal system in this country, the terminology is completely different. And this is why... I started telling people this. I don't want to say this on air, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you start to understand why certain things are happening to us, it's because we specifically do not understand the legal term in which we are applied to. So when we go to court, when we're addressed by a police officer, what it means when we go vote, who we are, we go vote, what that means to populations of people, go and understand. Don't look at it at the surface. Get the full understanding of what the definitions of these words are and what circuit of population of people that it's applying to. Then you will understand why certain things are happening. And go back to the Bible and understand that everything that happens in the United States is based off of biblical text. If you have never read the Bible, you don't have to be religious. Read the Bible and you will understand the United States of America. And when you understand all these different things that are happening, you can understand allegory, you can understand sacred geometry, you can go and understand the colors that are utilized in the United States. Why is Facebook blue? You know, mm-hmm. You will understand the reasons why certain things are happening in this country, because there are definitions of things that don't apply to the regular person. They apply to, or the regular human, I should say, they apply to the person that's been created in the United States of America. So if you are a person that falls under the legal construct, in the, this is a whole other conversation. Let me not even get that far. We got to go back to what's happening.
Let's go get to our target audience. But you see now, everyone, why you need to tune into Cairo Queen. And you can catch her on Tuesdays at Taste of Technology. So if you just Google Taste of Technology, we'll make sure she provides the information at the end. But it's a Taste of Technology every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's 5 p.m. on the West Coast. So you can tune into a Taste of Technology.
That is being shifted to a morning show at this point. It's supposed to start this July, where we're going to be launching a morning show on a digital platform called 108 Praise AM. And that's mainly because my population of people that I can actually get to usually fall into that space. So if I can touch more people, it's like 9 million people I can get to in that space live on Tuesday morning from 6 a.m. until, I think, 11. So that might be noon. But 6 a.m., we'll start a morning show about technology and reaching out to a mass population of people, or the automatic audience that I can tap into. But going back to where we started, which is staying on course with your brand, but looking and saying, what do I know that's happening with technology coming forward, or what do I know that's happening with the trends for the holiday season coming forward? I have a lot of competition, so I have to start right now. And the reason I got to start right now is because I have a ton of competitors. You understand this. If you know who's doing their release at Christmas time, and I'll give you a heads up, Microsoft is bringing out HoloLens for the consumer at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see all this virtual reality stuff coming forward, they're programming your audience for what they're about to release for the holiday season, just like they did when the Wii came out and when they started to plan for the new PS2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Or when you plan in advance and you say, okay, well, how do these quarters operate? If you're in a specific industry, you need to know when the quarters change. If you're in government, you know when the quarter change. Who has money and what budgets during those time frames? Because they'll be creating things at that point. They'll have new initiatives coming out. They'll be dropping new products at that time. You know, their RFP is going. They have to turn around and find out when these products are going to be approved or not, you know, and how the company is going to shift left or right with that. When we understand these things from a business standpoint, do we understand the field that we are? I know Microsoft HoloLens is coming out. Now, I'm a virtual reality builder, designer, gamer, whatever. I'm planning to get my stuff out now, so when people are already purchasing this for their children, because who's going to buy it first, of course? Parents for their children.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual reality headsets have to be games designed for that audience. Because you're not going to get the 35-year-old who's going to be building a business infrastructure inside of the virtual space, because they don't know about it yet. They're not even tapped into that space. They don't even know what this is. And when I'm saying virtual, half the audience probably doesn't know what I'm saying. Virtual applies to the unreal or the created version of reality. Augmented is taking your actual space and putting something into it so that you can operate. So you've seen Tony Stark, for example, in the Avengers, or everybody's seen Minority Report, if you haven't seen that. It's a lot of things that are now using the virtual and augmented versions of things like televisions. Microsoft has a platform where you can physically engage, and I advise every person who owns a business right now to go look up Microsoft HoloLens. That's H-O-L-O-L-E-N-S. So HoloLens is a virtual headset that does both augmented reality and virtual reality at the same time. But they've invested already $31 billion towards this virtual reality platform. Reason why I bring this up is, like you said, we are always on the back end of everything. The African-American population is always on the back end of cutting edge everything. While we have people talking about building websites, they're moving from a terrestrial or even your Internet of Things space and moving into the next phase of technology, virtual, augmented. We're moving away in a very short time.
And they've been doing it for a while. If people remember stuff like Second Life and all of that, they were, that's been around for a while. And then people that have been into teaching understand the immersive. Sandra King from the Urban Tech Fair have been talking about that for a couple of years. And Microsoft has been talking about and using HoloLens in education environment, immersive learning environment, for a few years. And they have been saying that it's coming. And but people think I'm not tech and all, and how does this apply for my business and different things? So what it is, you just look at various trends and you see where it may and may not apply. But if the trend, like you said, they've been talking about this for a few years now, and it's like, they've had certain trials, some things didn't work, there have been certain purchases and all, but now they're here, they've perfected it. So as Cairo announced, and actually if you follow her, you'll see, and she's already announced this, that this is coming out for the holidays, this headset and augmented, then that interfaces with a lot of different things. And even if, just say I do services and I don't have anything like that, or my product can't interface in any way, the way you interface it, that's what's hot. And people, like you said, parents are buying it for their children. And children, if those parents or those children are your target audience, even if you're doing B2B and you have a blog, you can always have ads about it. It's coming, special articles, guest articles. What that's going to do is drive traffic from the audience that you want to your blog. But, like, getting to it, and this is where I'm asking, Cairo to really help us, do you have the right audience? Have you really thought about it, or did you just come up with a business or product and you're kind of winging it? And I see people do this all the time. They a nice shirt and they're just putting it out there. They're paying for advertising. They have no control of their audiences. So, go ahead, Cairo.
No, I was just saying, I think, too, it has to do with who the producer of the product is as well. I had just an experience recently with a chiropractic office. Now, these are people who, they don't know. They're moving to a new location. And these are my personal chiropractors. And they're like, well, we're going to throw a whole shindig. We're going to do a big event. We got a bouncy house, and we want all these people to come. So they named off all these people, all these politicians and stuff that they wanted to come. And then, as everybody knows, I don't know if you realize how busy doctors are and how technologically and socially unsavvy they are usually. They don't have time to put together events like that. So they had this whole endeavor, we're going to do this whole event. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't realize you have 25 days to put this together. And at the point when I spoke to them, there's 30 days. And I'm like, so now you have to get in touch with all the politicians. You have to get in touch with their secretary first. You have to find out how to get in touch with these people. So all this is time they don't have. Plus they have children and they have, other things they're involved with.
Now, what I want to ask you, while we're using this example, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Why do you know why they're targeting the politicians? Are the politicians that they're targeting, can they help them? Can they help with legislation and all that would allow, or anything that would help with health care covering chiropractic?
So a politician for a lot of people, especially in the African-American community, regardless of how much black people will say they don't trust so-and-so, politicians bring a reputable identity to people when they're associated with you. So people will look and they'll go, okay, so Senator so-and-so was at that event. You know, a political so-and-so movement person was at that event. So now it says they're legitimate people. So it gives you a little bit of credibility when you bring these politicians in. Now, what they have been doing, airplane flying over, sorry. What they have been doing is they've been releasing a lot of proclamations. And so we had two surprise proclamations from a mayoral candidate, and that came out of the clear blue sky, and then one of the council members from Fulton County. So that was big. So for all the people out there who don't know if they trust the chiropractor in their life and they were out there just hanging out for the free food, now they got a reason to look and say, oh, well, they've been vetted by the council. The city council says we'll put our rubber stamp on them and say, hey, we're giving them a proclamation. We're declaring this, and it was Pain to Wellness Day.
Mm-hmm.
Big.
Now,
for the people who are out
there. In that regards, I would say, because, you know, you got to be careful sometimes when you're reaching out to politicians. It has to make sense.
True.
But the proclamations do. And the proclamations make a lot more sense, and they really do benefit. I think the proclamations really do benefit because what they're saying, more than even so much that they've been vetted, what they're saying is the proclamations generally reflect that this organization is participates in the community.
Right.
Because generally those proclamations generally tells the community work how you know, what kind of person, what you've done. And it shows that they're part of the community. So from a PR standpoint, that could work for you as good PR, but you still got to make sure if you're doing this event and all, is that actually going to bring clients in? And do those constituents that these people serve, can they even, you know, afford as a chiropractor, can they really afford to come in? Do they have health care that covers chiropractic care? And if they don't, can they afford it on their own? But, you know, like some people, we have a senator here that does a lot of things, especially around mental health and different things like that. So if you were a mental health, you definitely want to get that senator on your side because he does the fairs. He does a lot of things in that area. There are politicians that sit on various boards. I know Comcast woos certain people. They make sure they're in politically because they need to get those favors as far as getting things, approved for themselves. And then they also partner with a lot of real estate development,
right.
Maybe nonprofit groups, but they're building these housings, and Comcast becomes a provider for all those housings. So, and I just say that, and just to share, is like you have to know who your audience is, because that audience will dictate everything. If you're putting on an event,
absolutely.
If you're putting on an event and you're not including that audience, well, you may have a wonderful event, but then at the end of the day, you may not, gain anything or, help with customer retention because you didn't include the audience who would come. So you really want to shape everything around it because no customer, no business. So you need to know really who your customer is. And so these are the kind of questions that you need to ask, like, will the customers come out? And then if you're putting on that event and you're inviting out your customers, how can you encourage your customers to invite out other people?
I'll interject in that space because follow-up for having, of course, politicians are connected to a lot of people, and that's the thing. People show up because they're there, and they may want to go discover some of the things that they're involved with, or they want to come see because they actually trust that person. I mean, I've had, I don't even get into that, but I've had a lady who contacted me literally just to get to the politician because she had a crush on him. I was like, that's interesting. So, but you will have people who follow these connections. Because a lot of times these people worked in some type of, before they got into the political arena. So they have these connections that they bring to the table, not to mention they deal with schools. And remember, contracts on a lot of things that are out there that you yourself may be able to get involved with if you know about them. A lot of people don't go to the city websites and comb through the RFPs, you know, but politicians happen to have the insight on some of these things that can help you as a business if you get involved with the political space. But on the other side of this, if you follow up with having an event while the person is there at the event and say, hey, you know, we're offering a coupon for anybody who's here today. Oh, come in, we'll give you a free consultation on XYZ.
Now, that's how can they leverage that? Because all of these people, a lot of people got cell phones, so how do they leverage technology to do that?
So you can do digital coupons. You can set up your own digital coupon from your website, and you can have, and what this doctor did particularly is he signed off his own signature on a coupon that was printed out. Using different coupon sites. You know, you can go into something like Retail Me Not and create a coupon. For anybody who has been at this event, came, showed up, we now create a 50% off coupon for XYZ service or a free or a buy one, get one free BOGOs. These are important to people, especially people who just love to spend money. Those are the people I always look for first because those people are more likely the people who are going to buy just anything. And there are lots of people who just like to spend money, and they don't even realize it. There are a lot of women
and the
who
way
just
you get
like
them to spend money is by announcing some kind of sale, and they think they're saving money, but they're buying something they probably would have never thought to buy in the first place. But because of a sale or a BOGO or something, they're going to go spend money. My mom was one of those people.
I know a lot of people.
Oh, look at this sale. I'm like, okay, but we didn't even have this in the budget. So what is this? Why do we need it? So
people will find money to spend when they really want to spend it. That's another other thing. They always used to tell us, the buyer is always a liar. They say they don't have money. They have money. Trust me, you will see the same people tell you they don't have money with red bottom shoes on the next day, brand new.
people spend money on what they want, and that's why you have to really figure out what does your audience want. What do they feel is important? It's really not about you. It's not about you as the business owner. It's what do they feel important? Because people will spend money if they feel like this something is a problem. Like, say if they feel like, I don't do the chiropractor because it's so expensive. But if I got a coupon, just think of how many people you go to a gym, join gyms, because they offer a coupon and you can bring somebody in free on your for one or two sessions. And the people can go there and try it for free and they wind up buying a whole membership. It's, you really need to know who your customer is. What do they find important? Now, there are some people who don't care about a sale. You know, if it's not what they need, they're not going to buy it. And they only, you know, focus on things that they need. So that person, you know, if it's not what they need, you don't need to waste time bombarding those people with your sales and your specials because that doesn't turn them on. But what if they'll, you know, those are. And then where do you people hang out at? You know, people that are into chiropractic care, people that are willing to go there, a lot of them, you find that they're into holistic health care.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then they could be into fitness. And a lot of those people like the arts. So you kind of, you know, you break it down, and if you have some customers, that's the best place to start. Question them.
I think
Good.
A really good place when you have a basic customer that you have no information on, go on your Facebook page and just ask them, how can we service you better? Real simple.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to give me feedback. How can we be a better service to you in your position, condition, need? You know, how can we be a better service to you? Is this something that you're even interested in? Be really direct. How can we be of service to you? And that, I think, is really simple. It gets feedback. They may not answer on your page. They may go in your inbox. A lot of people do that to me. I ask people a question right on Facebook, and they'll come directly into my inbox because people are afraid to be seen. So that's something, you put people on the spot, they're afraid. They'll call you before they will go and put a post on Facebook sometimes. They'll pick up the phone and call you, which is good because then you have a conversation ready for that person. So there's several ways you can do surveys. Surveys you can put out there, you know, A, B, C, D, E, you know. On a scale from 1 to 10, have you ever had this experience, rate your experience, you know, or, you know, here are four options for something, you know, what do you like best? I do this all the time. People don't realize that I call it a game, Facebook Family Feud, and I have people ask questions. So I've always put, people always answer the question, too, because they like to play games. Games are a great way to bring people in. There are a lot of people just sitting online doing nothing.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing now is to throw out an arbitrary question, one question, and then 100 people throw out answers. What would you do if? Or, you know, what do you like better? And three choices. And then people put what they like. And, you know, that's the trend. But it is a great way to collect data. And
No, you're fine. I was just going to say that. They say now, statistically, I think it was Pew Research, it says that people check their social media platforms up to 80 times a day. 80.
Wow.
Like, I have time to do that. But I know, even in my own time, I literally sit while I'm typing. I have my phone. I have two phones next to my computer. And I'm always, I have messages coming in all the time. So I'm always checking these messages. It does hinder progress for a lot of people. That's a real thing. Corporations have had that problem. You know, they can't stop people from checking social media now. So what they say, well, we have access to your social media. We can access your social media. You check it off, and we can get into it. But when you look and you start to think about that, that means you have a population of people who are in a certain space during different times of the day. And what are those times of the day? You know, that's something you need to know. You can go on Peak. There's an app called Peak. So Peak will tell you exactly what are the peak times in your area for people. I don't care what part of the world you are, but it's like this it's an algorithm. It'll tell you what time people are on certain social media platforms during the course of the day. So you're looking at like, okay, well, that's important to you because now I know when to send out emails versus sending out social media posts on Facebook, versus sending out a Twitter, versus getting on Instagram. Then you need to know this. Your population of people on Facebook are predominantly an older population. When you know that the predominant population of people on Instagram are people from other countries outside the U.S., you know, who's your audience? So you get in that kind of data and you say, okay, well, if I can use social media the same way Mark Zuckerberg does, and monetize every head that's on my social media account by $1 a month, I can take 2,000, 4,000, 5,000 people and now monetize them. And let's just say, you know, we say what, 10% for everything you throw out on marketing and in the social media space, let's say it's just 1%. You got a billion people at 1% that you can tap into. So you think that same space with your social media account. If you have 5,000 people, 1% of that 5,000 is your market. So if you're consistently talking to that percentage of people every single day and you're in their face and you got them interacting with you and you have them engaging with you in public, you have them coming in and buying your product, you have them coming by your stuff, watching your video, they're sharing your stuff. Sharing is caring. They turn around and share your stuff. That's important. So now for every person you tap into, you think that might be another 1,000 eyes that I can get to see my stuff because those people now care enough to share your information with their audience. people liking is one thing. They just like you. When they are truly in support of what you do and they pick up what you do and share it to their audience, that's big. That means they wanted their audience to know about what you did so much, they told them about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's going to sit in that internet space, and it's going to be able to be shared with those people. And let them share it to a group. Groups have up to 1 million people in them now.
Yeah.
So you don't know who's going to see your ad. I personally can tell you, and I'm in 900 groups, 900, I think, 900 groups, circa, on Facebook. I didn't put myself in those groups. Most of the people threw me in those
groups. No, most people added you. No, I'm in so many groups. I'll be like, hey, they gotta look up. It's a new group. I'm like, oh, okay.
Why? But at the end of the day, what I realized the benefit of that is when I did a paid ad on Facebook, and dropped $20 to $50 on Facebook, ad reached less people than I do in my own personal reach. When I'm sitting out to groups and I'm sending out to different people and different populations, I know what the
mm-hmm.
benefit of those groups are now because the numbers tell mm-hmm. you everything. When
yeah.
Facebook only reached 250 people and I reached 10, 20, you know, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have proof of that. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, but that's for a person who's engaged in social media and has been for years. If you're a person that's not on social media, you need to pay for ads. Because they are not
yeah.
letting you tap into everybody anymore. It's just not a thing. We used to be able to touch anybody around the world on Facebook, and they were like, oh, that was stupid. Let's close that down. So
yeah, yeah, they did. Yeah, the algorithms, your reaches, it gets smaller. But now, one thing, I still suggest everybody to invest in some Facebook advertising. And right now I'm saying Facebook over other ones. Pinterest may go a little deep. But and YouTube goes deep. YouTube and Facebook invest, and it doesn't have to be a lot. If you do $5 here, $5 there, if you do a $50 budget a month on testing, but what you're
yep.
doing, the analytics they give you on Facebook go deep. I didn't even realize that, you know, for Far Corners for Lincoln, I actually was able to create a marketing persona just from the analytics on the advertising. I went in there and they went deep, deep, deep. So they give you
oh, yeah.
some deep analytics. So, you know, you use that to test. You know, first, if it's on a page, you do it to the page and the people who like the page. Then you can try different audiences if you have an idea. And then if that's not working, keep going back tweaking and see who are the people that are clicking. Once you do one ad, before you do another ad, go back to that first ad. Don't just look at the number of people who saw and who clicked. Go deep. You want to click onto the ad till you see the breakdown. In the breakdown, it's going to tell you how people who clicked on by gender, by age, by location, and then you can go further deep, education levels, what their interests are, and those are key things, because what are the interests? Then you'll start to see, okay, you might have thought your audience was one thing, but the people who are actually clicking on to your ad are a whole other age group. And, you know, at one time I thought a lot of things I was doing was more women, and I find out there's certain things that I do, I have much higher numbers than men.
Right.
And then,
this
like, one thing where I thought I was appealing to older people, I was actually appealing to a mid-range, like 35, 40, sometimes 30, 35. But then where I thought I was appealing to younger people, where I thought in my mind I was going after young people, I went to a much higher range of older people were clicking. So it's really important that you go back and look at those analytics to see who's doing what. And now you start to tailor your things to those groups and see where you're going from just people looking to clicking and converting them to buy.
Everything in the world is about data. So if data is the ruler of the world, then I would say social media is the prime minister. So understand these two components in your life as a business right now, you can't beat these two components. And I'd say the only way you're not in this space is if you're dealing with a geriatric, extremely elderly senior citizen population. But if you're dealing with anybody under the age of 65, at this point, your space really needs, you need to be doing a lot in the social media space. And then just find out
how many
of
the seniors. Cynthia Frazier.
Oh, yes.
She was started a young group, and she thought the young people was going to come out for the training. All the seniors came out. So even that the seniors aren't engaged anymore, that's not really true.
They are engaged.
Especially if they are active, you know, I mean, if they're not, you know, like, you know, bedridden and whatnot, if they're active and going out, they are a lot more engaged. In my church, I can tell you how many 70-year-old plus people in my church are on Facebook.
The fact that, and here's something that people got to understand, this whole virtual, and this is a great space to talk about where virtual actually makes an impact. We have all, you want to believe that or not, cyborg meaning you humanly have married yourself with technology. You absolutely have. People are dating on the internet, people they've never seen before. People
mm-hmm.
are doing business with people just because they know them from Facebook. I had a referral, I kid you not. There was an investor yesterday that sent me a message and asked me to be a mentor. I've never spoken to this man. But because of my LinkedIn background, he looked and referred me to somebody to be a mentor for a full program. And I was sitting here thinking, I don't even know who this guy is. I've never talked to him. And he's an investor. And I'm thinking, if you're an investor, I'm scared of what you're investing in because you haven't even vetted me to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need to talk to you. He just went through my social media. And
that's
so serious.
The research. And that's what I'm trying to tell my clients. If you don't have a digital footprint and you're going out there asking people for money without a digital footprint, because that's the first thing they're going to do. They're going to go to the internet and research you. You have
exactly.
to have a digital footprint. So that's the one thing I'm working on with a lot of my clients is coming up with a digital footprint, because it's not just about what you say. They're going to go see, you know, if you're saying you're doing this and you're interacting with all of these people, but I don't see nobody interacting with you online. That's what they're going to see. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, sometimes that does apply and sometimes that doesn't. There's still people that all they have to do, so-and-so has to say party, and guess what? Hundreds and hundreds of people are coming. You know, there's just still that still goes on. And, you know, and that's also a learning curve. Like, I really tell people don't – everything is not on the internet. And that is one of the things we're going to talk about when we're talking about trends and all. The one trend is for holiday shopping, it's twofold. A lot of people research online, but they buy in person. Especially
Absolutely.
Once December and all hit. They want to be out there. Or, you know, we can do it Walmart. You can buy online and go pick it up. Target, all of them. So many people are doing that. They still want to, you know, they don't want to wait for the shipping. Especially at the holiday time, that can be take time. Things can come broken. So a lot of, they're doing a dual experience. And some people are starting the process in the store and all, but like, you know, I don't feel like all these lines and waiting. Right while they're in there, they pull out their phone and order the item right while they're inside the store.
That's where I talk about the cyborg. Like, we have physically become this cyborg that we don't acknowledge, because a lot of people are like, I don't do that technology thing, but they're the first person shopping on the internet. They're the person that sits
mm-hmm.
online all day, and they're the person who met their husband on the internet. You know, and I'm like, you are a cyborg. And you don't even realize that. My whole thing right now has been virtual transformation. I'm actually creating a initiative for virtual transformation, bringing people's virtual reality into their real and waking life. Because with the senior conversation, my phone's beeping, with the senior conversation, we're looking at people who are going to be in a space where they don't have family members. They're detached from other humans. Some of them are not living in senior citizen living homes. They're living at home. So now you're
mm-hmm.
going to look and say, where Facebook has become beneficial, a great example is my Auntie Betty. My Auntie Betty is 85, my grandfather's sister. Okay, she's 85
mm-hmm.
years old. the only way she engages with everybody she knows is through social media, unless they come visit her. She lives in Denver. Mm-hmm. She is okay, so Beyonce's guitarist is my Aunt Bebe. I don't know if I can say this on the phone, but Beyonce's guitarist is my Aunt Bebe McGill. So Bebe McGill's her daughter. So I listen, mm-hmm. I'm like, I see her sharing all of Bebe's stuff. Like, I don't go to Bebe's page, but I know what Bebe's doing because Auntie Betty is very proud of Bebe, and she shares it all over the internet. So it's mm-hmm. kind of the same thing where you used to go and have dinner with your grandmother, your aunt, and she would go and tell you about all the stuff that somebody did they don't want you to know. You know, like, this has now become your cyborg or your virtual transition into the future. Like, people don't realize how detached from humanity we've become. We're not checking on seniors anymore. There are a lot of them. That's the largest population of people out there. You know, all the senior citizens anymore. There's not a lot of, you know, help for them out there. There should be a lot more than what there is. Look at our veterans. Yeah. Our veterans are going to have to come into a virtual space. Therapy is going into a virtual space. People don't realize, like, this thing is so big. And for us not to be on the forefront of it is detrimental to our whole entire existence right now. So we look and we say, being in the space of cyber technology or being in a technology space, that's not what we want to do. That's not something I want. I don't believe in that. That's not Christianly. That's not godly. Let me explain to you. When your church went online and started broadcasting, they went into the virtual space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you can reach 1 million people, why would you settle for 30 people in a congregation?
Yeah, even before the,
program.
Internet, when they were doing the TV broadcasting, that you know, that's a realm of broadcasting. And to be honest, like, people saying how the internet's replacing the TV, TV still has a heck of an impact.
Absolutely.
You know, where, like, when you
Huge.
See stuff like The Voice, the opportunity to be able to get up there where millions of people are tuned in. That is an opportunity you just can't pass up. It's like people always worry about winning. And when I have artists that go into those competitions, I say, I really don't care if you win. And that's not
just
the
go.
High. That, the probability is not even – that's not the probability. But the point that you can get up and do one performance and be seen by a million people, and then again, this goes to
million.
All we're talking about our planning. If you know that you are going into a competition – and we know we got the internet and everything, and you know that if you get to a point, people are going to be voting for you, then you should have your ducks in a row when you go. And this is where we have to just stop allowing things to happen, and this is where you become proactive. And that's what we're doing here with the Christmas in July. We know it's coming. We know people are going to spend more money at that time of year than they do any time. It doesn't matter if you're into Christmas or not. This is not about a personal belief system. This is just business. People
money.
Gotta spend the money. So if you take the time to plan, how can you capitalize off of that? This is a time when most retailers go from being in the red to in the black. How do you capitalize off of that? And it's just planning. So I just want us to stop waiting until, you know, November, October, November. I see people do it all the time.
So, and here's a thought that I had every time we have gone through a Black Friday. You and I just said data is the ruler of the world. The mm-hmm. prime minister is social media. Content is the king. So mm-hmm. if we're in a space of understanding, black is your word. Why are we not manipulating that for our own benefit? I said that a couple of y'all know if you ever saw the ad I ran. I'm like, I am black. Black is Black Friday, right?
Yeah.
Support black businesses. On black
well,
Friday,
what we're doing, since you got there, Cairo, I just want to let you know, and you're definitely going to be part of it anyway, because you definitely have to be one of our hosts. And a producer too, because you know how to produce. She knows how to produce on air very well. But
thank you.
This will be our second year with the BEEDC. I created an event called 96 Hours because when I talk to the everyday person on the street, and even me, I know a lot of black businesses. You know, I know of them, but I can't just know one place to go to find them. It's hard.
And then you go look, oh, they're not here, but I saw something. And, you know, it's just hard to find them. And they got these directories, and there's a directory over here, directory over there. But the everyday person on the street, I go outside right now and speak to my neighbors. And people are much more willing, especially, unfortunately, due to the way we've been, you know, unduly murdered and stuff. Our community is much more willing now to support our own. But how do you identify and find those businesses, especially for the everyday person who may not be in the space of, you know, black movement space, but they're willing to support? So what, with 96 hours, and you can go to shop96hours.com, and it's 96. And what our objective is to create Marathon TV for straight 96 hours from Black Friday through Cyber Monday. Anytime you tune in to Shop 96 Hours, you're going to find a black-owned business that you can shop from. And it's going to be, you know, mobile-ready sites. So that means when, you know, if you're out and about and you're out there shopping, you still got some point in that 96 hours you can tune in and find a black business to support. And what we're doing 15-minute segments. And they can stream from their location, or they can stream into. We're going to have a platform, and we're going to the directories. And this is how we support each other. We're going to go all to all of black business directories and ask them to share it with their, you know, their registered businesses. And this is how we get enough businesses to cover that period. And so at any time, people don't have to, well, do I go to this directory, that directory, this? From Black Friday through Cyber Monday, go to Shop 96 Hours, and you'll see something live. And we're working on a platform, too. The platform we're looking at using, people can buy directly from the platform. So you don't even necessarily have to click go.
I think that's huge.
Yeah. That is why we're really working on a sponsorship to get this particular platform. But again,
well,
this
here's
is
a huge thing.
The forefront.
Here's a huge thing for everybody who's listening. If you listen in the replay, if you listen live, he just gave you a really simple tool to take what you do and expand it out. I just said sharing is caring, right? So if you look and you say, I become a $100 sponsor, I become a $500 sponsor, or a $1,000 sponsor. Now, it behooves you. Now, you think there's 20,000 people probably listening to this audience, right? Like 20,000, right? That'll listen to this broadcast. So let's just say she does a show. She does a live broadcast. She does this video broadcast. She taps into all these different platforms. She's sharing this all over the web. Would it not behoove you to purchase sponsorship dollars at a minimum of $100? To help her with this initiative so that she can do more advertising on your behalf and then share it to your audience once a week? Let me tell you why that helps you. This was something I've always tried to explain to my people, but they don't seem to understand. This ain't about taking somebody and helping them boost their business. This is about you boosting your business. One, you can say, I have now become a global sponsor for 96 hours. Black business entrepreneurship, spreading and accelerating and building an infrastructure for our people. Okay,
yes.
Now you've tapped into all the people who are in the black movement. You've tapped into all the people who are maybe just looking to say, where are there other black businesses? They don't even want your business, but they're tapping in and they say, oh, well, you got to be a connected person. You actually are able to sponsor. That's another thing. People will look at you when they think you're able to make a sponsorship, like you have something going on. You don't even have to have a business set up. Go get a free EIN on the internet and establish a business from the IRS. This is going to bring you traffic. I can tell you this personally. I tell you this personally from my own personal experience. I have had sponsors come to me and ask me to use my identity to tell people to do stuff. I will tell them that I'm a brand ambassador. That's all I got to do. I'm a brand ambassador for XYZ product. People will circumvent me to get to the product and go and try and purchase or get on the platform with these people. So it automatically brings them new business. They won't mention me, but the only way they knew they tapped into that audience was from me. And people think sometimes I'll just be sharing information. They're like, oh, she's just sharing some more information, but they'll go click on it. And now Google and Facebook will tell you who's clicking. Twitter tells you who's clicking. YouTube tells
that's
you who's clicking.
Technology. You don't just have to just. And back in the day, before technology, Carolyn, I could tell you how expensive it was to get real analytics and how hard. We've both been in entertainment. How many times have you had to pay and how expensive was radio play and you still don't have a clue what station your stuff played on? And even if the reports came back, they really weren't that good unless it made unless your thing played and made a big hit and started being played all over the radio, you could pay, I'm telling you, anywhere from $3,000 on up and get the jankiest reports on radio play.
Because they didn't really
you don't
know.
Have to, yeah, because it was hard to
they
get those analytics and all. But they tell you, because, I mean, it is a job. Now, for them to get radio play, you got to go out, talk to the people, this and that. So there's a cost, but they can't really tell you, like I said, unless your thing hits on fire. It was really hard to tell. And I stopped doing that, and that's when I'm like, wait a minute. We are not using technology. And this is with the black business space. And, you know, before Lee Green passed, and that's why I started the BBS Value Tour. If you ever see that, Cairo, that's what was my impetus to start that. I'm like, wait a minute. I'll say because, one, also we needed to rely on something other than sponsorship. I was like, what product could we develop? I'm like, wait a minute. I know for artists to release, it was like, you couldn't release under $10,000 if you're going around for the cost of everything. And what independent artist got $10,000 to $30,000 in their pocket sitting around in order to do a release? And this is not even doing a project. This is just the money to, you know, get on the radio, do your PR, all of that stuff, to get everything you need prepared to promote yourself. And I was like, I know with technology we should be able to cut these costs down. And I got that same cost down to $1,500 just by using technology.
If people would understand what technology does for us, what the internet has given to us, it has given us the gold mine. And the problem is we're not making money because we're not using it the way it is supposed to be used. If you remember, the internet is the World Wide Web, right? So everything on the internet is connected. And so if you think, and I'll take you to religious bodies, they talk about the one body. The reason I even got into technology was because I had a dream about being on the internet and I was bouncing on the web in the center. And all I saw were all these bubbles, and the bubbles were people connected to this web. And when I woke up, I got the vision that it was the internet. And I was like, that's crazy. If you understand that you are only one click away from one person, everybody can do this as a project, go and look. If you're not in Atlanta, go and click on one person that is African-American on your Facebook account and look and see how many people they're connected to who are in Atlanta. It's so crazy. Every person I have has one connection. Every single person I have ever added usually has one connection that's sitting in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, that's crazy. You know, they talk about 6 degrees of separation. That's only like 1 degree of separation for me.
Yeah,
to
the internet
person
has
sitting
moved
right here
us
in the city.
From 6 degrees. We're down, they're talking like it's down to 1 degree of separation. It's the truth. And I definitely divide my people up when I can with lists to say what areas they're from. And so I can, you know, target people in that area. If you're looking at touring, or if you're looking to do local, or if people have regional followings, or you find, you might notice, again, use your analytics, use your data. You may have to go around and look at some of this, but start looking at your followers. Where do they all tend to be from around the same area?
But even in that conversation, if you understand that the internet shows connectivity, African Americans have missed the marker on this so tremendously. There is money sitting right in our backyard. we could ask for the money outright because there are things that you have in somebody else's city. Let's say, for example, you're in Philadelphia, I'm in Atlanta, right? I have operations here in Atlanta, but I want to start operations in Philadelphia. You have connections in Philadelphia. So it would make me a really good business mind to say, why don't we create co-opted forces? You're in marketing. I do tech adaptation and information, right? So I'm a person that goes out and I train people how to do a virtual transformation. I do public mm-hmm. speaking. Do you know anybody who might be hiring someone out in that space? Why would this be beneficial mm-hmm. to you? Because now I'm going to come, I'm going to take your business and say, you sponsored me to come into this environment. So when I'm on the platform and I'm speaking to 100 to 1,000 people and I say, you know, thanks to XYZ company, and I'm at this place and I'm passing your business cards out now because I'm now in mm-hmm. front of 1,000 people you didn't have access to, but you knew how to get there. You see what I'm saying? We're not using the platform. When we could turn around, mm-hmm. and we tried this, I don't know how many times, with the Urban Tech Fair, one website where we just turn around and say, hey, everybody is connected to this person. We do a weekly call or a monthly call even, and we say, hey, how can we create $1 memberships inside of this organization? If you get 1 million people in an organization to do a $1 membership per month, that's $1 million. Even if they don't all pay for it, I guarantee you that's a lot of money that you have in your pocket. You split that up mm-hmm. among 5 businesses collectively, I guarantee you that's more money than all you've seen in the last 5 years. Every
probably
month.
Over the lifetime of the business, most people.
What
I mean, it's just
away?
The truth of it.
You just gave away a book, and this is something I think is interesting. People will give away a book and give away a ton of information in these books, right? They say, okay, we charge like $1 for people who are a member for your one book, and all they're doing is supporting your black business, right?
Mm-hmm.
$1 is not going to kill people. If you can multiply that $1 over and over and over again for all your friends, and I've done this, and I think you've probably seen me doing all these different fundraisers, just to show people, I can create a gift literally on Canva, and it just says, you sponsored me at $50. You sponsored me. People will give to you if you have something that is important to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's money coming in. You could turn around and go after on a regular basis. And people seem to forget everything is connected. Now, what can I do to make your life better? You come back with, call on me when you need something. So a person says, okay, well, I need you to come on my show because you got the information on XYZ. You can come talk about it. Sure. Now, some people would have to pay for the information that I might give to them, right? I'm never going to charge a person who is already turned around, sponsored, and helped me get along because they are now the reason why I'm able to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's like we need the ability to connect with people on the web. Sponsorship doesn't have to be corporate. Sponsorship can come
locally.
There are plenty of small people.
We have to start thinking creatively. And the word she used, infrastructure, is so important. You know, that is why really, you know, this particular series, it's like you're creating a plan, you're creating an infrastructure so that when you do business and when people come back to you, you are able to capitalize. So if we get the infrastructure and a plan, okay, you get an idea. We're talking about audience and all today. We're talking about trends and knowing your audience. Next week we're going to do a special on event marketing. The technology has totally changed the event marketing industry. The event industry
mm-hmm.
is totally on a whole new level because of technology. Things that you can do with your same budget. If you're doing the same thing with the same budget, shame on you. Because you can take that budget and really do some great things because of technology. And so we're going to have people to come in and talk about some of those various things because events are, again, big at the holiday season. And then we're going to be talking about, what I called it is called you get your ag swag on. So we got audience. You want to talk about your goals. You can't plan. To me, planning always begins with your goals. But you can't set goals for people you don't know.
So I want, you know, we start with the audience because they dictate and shape everything. But then what are your goals? What is the outcome that you expect? If you start doing something with no expectation, you are going to kind of wind up any kind of way or whatever. Have an expectation. If there's a dollar, put a dollar amount, you know, quantify it. Quantify your expectations and your goals. And instead, then we're going to base those off of, look at past things that's happened. Again, we talk about these analytics and all. You can get an idea of what happened before. Maybe you never ever looked at your analytics and you were advertising, but you never went deep. But just see what happened before, what do you want, and now you can create a plan to get from where you were to where you want to go. And then that's where we talk about the analytics. You go back, you're going to look at your analytics, you're going to evaluate. And then strategies. And in every show we're going to cover these, but we covered a lot of different strategies. Cairo just gave you a million and one strategies. And it's like really gold. I tell people when I talk, get a notepad. When Cairo talks, I get a notepad or I record it. Because there are people that really drop diamonds and gold. And if you don't take the time to listen and or write it down, I mean, and this opportunity may not come again. She may not say this exact same thing. She probably never say it this way again. So you got to take advantage of it. And then at last we talk about in the strategies, that's to build a campaign. You got to build your campaign. How do you build a campaign? That's where you look at it. Carl was talking about, again, these relationships, sponsoring. Sponsorship, you now need to go say, hey, how can I add sponsorship? Now, I'm going to be honest. Carl was nice with $100 and all. I really don't do sponsorship under $2,500. That's just me. I don't do $2,500 and up. But strategic advertising, you can take an ad and strategically use an ad and make it like a sponsorship. And one way to do that locally is with the churches. When you're talking about entities, you know how people always actually get ads and different things? If a church is actually getting an ad, they got a congregation. Well, you need to require something before you just give your money for that ad. Because otherwise, they're going to put it in the book. People are going to look at the book and then go put it all up, everything they had at that banquet or event, and not look at it again. So say, okay, I'll give you this ad, but if I give you this ad and I do a full-page ad, can I leave, is there any place I can leave information? Do you send out email, e-blast or something? Can I send out, can I have a special, can you mention my special in your e-blast? You know, we have like places where we put, you know, flyers and things that are right in the vestibule that people see as they come up and down the steps, in and out. You can put your flyer there with it. Because, hey, you going to give us a full page ad? We're going to, like, say, sure. Oh, yeah. We'll send out a blast. Jackie, sending out a blast for the church? Yeah, yeah. That's sure. Can you put a note in for this person? But we have to start thinking, you know. They have the whole they have a captive audience. And so, or if they have the event, can I go speak at the event? Can I say something to the people? Just start
never
thinking
pass
about
up the microphone. Never pass up the microphone. Now, I tell people this every time I get on a mic. I'll go, like, if I'm emceeing, like I just did this event, I told the people, I said, I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to come and introduce your business. I said, run up to the front. Five people came. And I said, you know what? I said, that's crazy. I said, because anytime somebody allows me to come speak, I'm coming to speak. Pay me or not, I'm coming to speak. Let me tell you why. Well, we just talked about the connectivity of people. Went in the room, and I'm on the microphone. I looked around. I like to tell people, pull out your Facebook Live. Pull out your Instagram share. Turn your video on. What they just did is broadcasted whatever I said to 1,000 more people in their platform. And that's every person that's in there. So if it's 150 people in the room, I just got 1,000 more people per person just because everybody turned on their camera. So I'm telling people, come up
or
here.
Or just imagine if you ask everybody to pull out their phone and go to your website, and right there, go to the website, enter this, and then you can immediately download a coupon right to your phone. That's what I was asking about.
Right.
But these people are sitting there with this technology, and she just gave another good idea. But these are ways you can use this captive audience, and that's going to take, what, less than 5 minutes? But everybody in that room walked away with something. Or you guys seen an extra and they're sharing it. Hey, this is a great event. You know, check this person out. Now, some people may already be doing it, but if you go up there and ask them to do it, do you know how many more people would do it? And chances are they would share it with their network and tell them to come watch. This woman's good.
Exactly.
So,
if you can touch people, they'll share. You can impact a person, they'll share. I'm going to ask everybody that's listening to this, wherever you are in the world, whether you're listening to it now or in the replay, share this audio. What you're doing, and so you understand, you can draw traffic to your own platform just because you shared it. Because now somebody who may not have been interested in anything else that you posted may say, oh, I know Cairo. Oh, I know Jackie. Oh, I heard that radio station. You know what I mean? And they'll jump on your platform.
Yeah.
You have no idea who you tap into. Because I look, and while I'm staying on that point, tapping into an audience of people, bringing them to your space, create a hashtag. Hashtag everywhere. I am queen, Cairo queen, I rule. Those are three different hashtags that I have. If you go and look up right now, hashtag Cairo queen, spelled with a W, not a U, my face will appear with the definition of me. Okay? There are people who will go and hashtag one of the events that I just did. So I just launched a mission for Women for Technology. I have women, the number four, tech. Hashtag Women for Tech is my organization's movement.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look and you say, there are people who are hashtagging it. They saw me use it. So they're like, oh, I'm going to use that too. Guess what? They're driving traffic to my hashtag. So now everything that I see that I've posted that's under my hashtag is now going to be seen by their people who are looking for that hashtag too. So,
and then when women, people are looking up women in tech or women, you know, they find a hashtag and then they get to see the conversation around it. And there's so many ways and various things we could do. And another thing too, in looking for your audience. Say if your audience is into art or they're into certain things, or, you know, say if your audience likes hip hop. So maybe look up the hashtag Freestyle Friday.
Right.
Or, you know, freestyle. You know, can you go look at their hashtag and find a lot of people who are into hip hop? And then, you know, you see where they are. You know, are they on Facebook? Are they on Twitter? Let me click in, add some of these people into my network. And then what you do when you're saying something, you want to use the hashtag Freestyle Friday, add your hashtag to it so you can become part of that conversation. There are, like, just so many tools and ways that you can help identify and find your audience and discover your audience using technology that's really affordable. Some of these things are free. Some things you may want to pay for. But, you know, the thing where, you know, focus groups where you go out and they bring people, and they still do focus groups that way, and it's still good. But you can do focus groups online now. You can do it online, like, you know, the Google Hangout type thing. Bring people in. Hey, everybody get on. We see you. And ask the questions and get the feedback. You have ways to do focus groups, even if you're doing it as a conference call. You know, ways to bring together small groups of people, find out, you know, ask them all the questions. Like Cairo said, you can ask them your series of questions, or like you said, just put those questions out on social media. Ask people directly and start getting feedback. But this helps you just qualify your audience. And the better you know your audience, the more targeted you can make your advertising and the people you know who to go after, and the less time and energy you waste on people who just aren't interested. And I'm pretty sure Cairo can tell you, like me, how many people we done dropped over a while because we realized we was wasting time with just a whole bunch of people that could care less. And not that they were bad people, they just could care less about what we were doing. So why are we sending them information? Why are we wasting time? And you'll see over time where people will start to alter. People might be in one place all the time, keep posting, and nobody really responds. And so then they'll just stop, you know, posting, except for Enoch Mubarak. Don't give up. You know Enoch Cairo?
No.
Yeah, in the Urban Tech Fair, Enoch. The only one person who never posts
yeah, right,
on technology.
Oh, yeah, he's always... Okay, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Precisely.
Yep.
Yeah. I would still say that everybody who's out there, start creating content every day, whether it be a picture. Selfies with you and another person allow you to hashtag and literally at or to tag another person, which will then show up in their social media account. So do that. Start taking pictures with people. Create your community. Meet the people that you know on Facebook. I have to do this now because I realized I got to a place where I had 5,500 people on Facebook. Like you said, we had to get rid of people. I think I've gotten rid of about 2,500 people, maybe more. And
mm-hmm.
I have been able to zero in on people because I'm like, I don't know that person, but I kind of like what they post. You know what I mean? There are people
mm-hmm.
who, I promise you, will come and like my page and never say a word. So I started deleting those people. And the minute I told them I was going to delete them, they came out the woodworks. They were like, oh, wait, don't delete me. Because there are people sitting there just looking at my stuff, and I don't even know who they are. They know everything about me. Great example.
They call them lurkers.
Lurkers. But there are a lot of people, like I said, they don't want to be seen
yeah.
as commenting on anything because they're scared of what that means. Like, does that associate me with something? Does that make me a person who's an internet person? Does that people are afraid to be labeled, right?
Yeah.
But they're already being labeled. Mark Zuckerberg has you labeled down to your socks. Okay? So it's what you do in life. Mark Zuckerberg has a label for you and what you do. Because they know everything
mm-hmm.
about us. There is no way to escape it. Even if you're not on the internet, they know who you are. You're probably labeled as a hermit. So you look at it's like you already are out there, so you want to create the message that's going out about you. I went from a space of being an entertainment icon where I was doing things on a jazz radio show. I had this international radio show. I wanted to build that identity, so I did. And it took me some time. I killed that version of me. I got rid of all the people who didn't care about technology when I was like, I'm talking technology, because that was the whole reason I started in the music space anyway. I'm going to go talk solely about technology. I won't talk about music no more. I won't talk about jazz. I won't talk about notes. I won't talk about any of that stuff. I'm talking solely about technology. People got mad at me. So they literally vacated my social media posts where I used to get almost 100 likes for almost everything that I would post. So I said, okay,